bless you because you are faithful. We thank you because you are in control. The Bible says, why do the hidden rage? Why do they imagine a vain thing? We thank you because their imaginations are but vanity.
Yes.
Because you, O Lord, are highly exalted. You sit enthroned. You sit as king. Therefore, we thank you because you reign. Thank you because the activities of men have been frustrated.
Yes.
Thank you because you have arisen. Thank you because all the enemies have been scattered.
Yes.
Thank you because you have shown yourself strong, mighty, and terrible on behalf of the church. Ole Mosadia, Tanjaba, Boski Manja, Teke Baria. Thank you, Almighty God. Thank you because all human persons propagating an agenda have been frustrated in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, nothing can hinder your walk on the earth. So we say, ride prosperously in the name of Jesus. We bless your name. We worship you. Blessed be your name, O God. Let us just pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name. We thank you because we have light. Thank you because we have light. Oh yes, Lord Jesus. For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That light has shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Oh, thank you because the scriptures are opened unto us. Thank you because the word of the Lord is coming unto us expressly. Thank you because the hand of the Lord shall rest upon us in the name of Jesus. Thank you because the heavens are opened unto us. Oh, thank you, Almighty God. Thank you because you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. We have right, we have access to look at the book, to open the book. Because you prevail. Hey, Malata. The book is open. The scriptures are open. It cannot be a closed book to us. In the name of Jesus. So therefore we join in the heavenly choir. We join in the song of the saints. And we say, worthy are you, Lord, to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Oh, yes. You said to John, weep not. Weep not, weep not, weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, the root and the offspring of David. He has prevailed. The book is opened. The book is opened. We have access. We have access to the life of God. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Therefore, we say, worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord, to receive glory, to receive honor, to receive power, to receive wisdom. Thank you for the victory that is wrought in Christ Jesus. We bless your name. Thank you for light. Thank you, Almighty God. I ask, O God, that you speak your word expressly to your people. It says, so shall my word be that proceeds out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. Let it give seed to the sower. Let it give bread to the eater. Oh, thank you because every seed bringeth forth after its own kind. Therefore, let the word of the Lord run swiftly. Run swiftly. Thou will enlighten our darkness. Thou will light my candle. Thou will light our candle. In the name of Jesus, we say, let there be light. Let there be light. We will not grope in darkness. For this is the day of your power. This is the unveiling of your strength. Thank you because the day spring on high has visited us. Melonda Mahabaya. Lekondo Zapapa. Thank you, Almighty God. We bless your name, oh God. We worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Just worship him. Say thank you, Father. Thank you. We ought to give thanks unto him. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For the sacrifice. Oh, for the prize of redemption. We appropriate the victory. We appropriate the victory. We appropriate the victory. That's why we are gathered. To remind ourselves. To remind ourselves. To remind ourselves. So that we can be established in the present truth. Thank you, Almighty God. Oh, unveil your mind to us this morning. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Amen, 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 amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'll be talking on light unto salvation. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah. Continue, sir. Light unto salvation. Let's go to Psalm 27, verse 1.
Hallelujah.
It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When God wants to save us, he brings light. When God wants to save us, he brings light. Light is not a nomenclature. Light is not a thing. Light is a person. The Lord is my illumination and my deliverance. The Lord is my light and my healing.
Amen.
The Lord is my light and my victory. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my help. The Lord is my light and my deliverance.
Amen.
The Lord is my light and my preservation.
Amen.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. So he saves us by light.
Yes.
And this is just an exhortation or a teaching, I don't know, just to charge us. We need light. We need light. We need light. We need light.
Yes.
We need light. But that light is a person. And we have the light.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's go to Revelation chapter 5. We'll read it together. And I saw in the right hand. Are we there? I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Let's read verse 2 together. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open or to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, had prevailed to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as he had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. They sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. And we say,
amen.
The book is not sealed anymore.
Amen.
The book is not sealed.
Hallelujah.
It was a scene in heaven that John was in. And for an old man to weep because he knew the import when the book is sealed. Man cannot attain to the highest in God, remains permanently in a degenerate state.
That's right.
Remains permanently in a degenerate state. And John wept much. He wept much. He wept much. But he says, weep not. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, had prevailed to open the book. So the book is not sealed. The book is open. I have access. I can appropriate the promises of God because the book is open. The book is open. The book is open. And why is that book open? The first thing we must remember, it says in verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne. That's not what I'm looking for. It talks about the lamb that was slain. Yes, verse 6 actually. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. It is because of the work of Jesus. It is because of the blood of the everlasting covenant. It is because of the sacrifice of Jesus. It is because of the death of the testator that we have access to the promises of God. He points us back to the lamb. He says, the lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. He came. And he points us back to the lamb. He came. He took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. It is the work of Jesus. It is appropriating the victory of Christ that gives us access to the open book. Can we thank him because we have access? We have access. We have access. We have access. The Bible says, by the blood of the Lamb, we have boldness in Jesus. We have access and we have confidence. So that means that all the promises of God is open to you and I to attain.
Amen.
Because the book is not sealed anymore. If we want to put it on a level scale, we are starting on a very high premise. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We have access.
Amen.
We have access. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We have access. Let's go to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2. Sorry. Second Peter, my bad, chapter 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Can we read verse 2 together? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grace and peace be what? Multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus. According as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Because we have a promise, we can partake of the divine nature. Praise the Lord. It says, given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So if there is no promise, there's nothing for me to lay hold of. If there is no promise, there's nothing for you and I to claim. The Bible calls them great. The Bible calls them precious. And it is because of the promise that we are partakers. The word partakers there is koinonia. I want to look at it from this other one with my lexicon. Koinonos, and it means an associate, companion, fellowship, a partaker of the divine nature. We have the promises of God. We have the promises of God. And it is because the book is open, we have access, not just to claim them, but to walk in the experiences of all that Jesus died to give to us. It says, through the precious promises, we are partakers of the divine nature. So going back to that Revelation chapter 5, I mentioned earlier that it is because of the work of Jesus. It is because of the blood that we have access. Now, Moses captured this, and we'll see it again in the New Testament. Let's go to Exodus chapter 24. And I'll read from verse 6. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. He took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord had said will we do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord had made with you concerning this word. Praise the Lord. Now, the writer of Hebrew
captures exactly what Moses said in Hebrews chapter 9 from verse 14. I will read from verse 15. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is not in force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, what did he do? He took the blood of cows and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and the people. He sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God had enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all vessels of ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. Why did I read Exodus 24 and now read Hebrews chapter 9? Can we go back to Exodus 24 verse 6? A holy God gave the law. And the Bible says that his law is a light. Or his law, rather, is a lamp. It says his word is a light and his law is a lamp. Paul is writing that there was nothing wrong with the law. The law is holy and good, but I'm sinful. I'm a carnal man sold under sin. And the children of Israel, they could not have the ability to keep that law. But that was a type and shadow of what was to come. He said that Moses took half of the blood, put it in basins, and half of the blood, and he sprinkled on the altar, the next verse, and he took the book of the covenant. The covenant is God's agreement with his people, and that is the law. He read it in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the law, next verse please. He took the blood, and he sprinkled it on the people, and said, see the blood. Behold the blood of the covenant, which the Lord had made with you concerning these words. Why was it necessary for Moses to sprinkle both the book and the people? Because the people had no ability to keep that law. This was a type of what was to come. Our ability to keep his law, our ability to walk in it, has been paid for by the blood. Has been established by the blood. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 that after Moses has spoken, verse 19, every precept to the people, he also took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. He sprinkled both the book and all the people. Brethren, our redemption to the very end, and you and I, our ability to walk in the laws of God, our ability to have this word, I know that we all have a part to play, but even in that ability to do has been paid for by the blood.
Yeah.
That is why he says he sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you." This is the blood. And it points us back to Revelation chapter 5. That it was the Lamb that was slain who took the book, who loosened the seals. Therefore, we have access to appropriate the promises of God. And the Bible says that by these great and by the precious promises, you and I have become what? A partaker of the divine nature. So I have a promise, you have a promise. And because of the promise, we can what? Partake of the divine nature. So without a promise, there is nothing to lay hold of. There is nothing to claim. So our very access into the mind, the will, the counsel of God is open to all of us. Is open to all of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Almighty God. We have light. He saves us by light. And so he says, because of the promise, he says, I'll go back to that scripture in Peter. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Do you have grace and peace right now?
Yes.
Okay. The Bible says that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. The Bible says that we beheld his glory. We beheld his glory full of grace, full of divine energies, full of divine enablement. Grace and peace. That peace is beyond tranquility. That peace is beyond fraternity of living quietly and peaceably. Peace there is shalom, which is eternal life. But the experience of a multiplication of it is what? Through what? The knowledge. The experience of a multiplication of divine enablement. Divine enablement. The law came through Moses, but grace, unmerited favor, access, a coming up hither, divine energies working in me and enabling me to keep the law. And by keeping it, I attain and I grow into the head that is Christ Jesus.
Glory to God.
He said, grace and what? Shalom. Be multiplied through the knowledge. Through the knowledge. Through the knowledge. Through the knowledge. And he says in verse 4, whereby are given unto us. No, actually verse 3. As his divine power, he said, has given already all things that pertain to life and godliness. Again, through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge. So I'm trying to lay that foundation that one, the doorway has been opened.
Amen.
To come into fullness of life to everyone that believes. Now, it's not just by scholarship, because we're emphasizing knowledge. So one will say, okay, the more I read and read and read, but there's a part where we have to play, or there's a role we play where we get the knowledge of him. But in that getting of the knowledge, It is because of the blood. It is because of the lamb that was slain. That's why I was pointing us back to Revelation chapter 5. He says, in the midst of the throne was a lamb. He was the one who took the book. So because of the blood, now we have access. Then it comes with knowledge. So the first thing we see there is the will of God. Let's just go to Hebrews chapter 9. Sorry, Hebrews chapter 10. Okay, so I'll just read a few verses here. It says, the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. I'm going to skip and I'll just go to verse 6. It says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast no pleasure. Verse 7. And he said, or then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sins thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Verse 9 is the will. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will. And what is that will? He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So the first thing we see in Hebrews 10:9 is first the will of God the Father. Okay? Now we'll go to verse 14. I'll start from verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. So the first thing we see here is the will of God the Father, which is seen in taking away the first and establishing the second. Okay? The second here is the witness of the Holy Spirit. I'm building on something, so just follow me closely. It says, by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is what? A witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. Verse 20 says, or verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and by a living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, this is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Praise the name of the Lord. So we have established now that we have a promise. And this is a little bit of, I would say, doctrinal exegesis, because it gives us, the Bible says, all scripture is inspired of God for doctrine. Doctrine, I'll read that scripture because I want to lay something there. But doctrine is useful because that is premised on our belief. And so, the doctrine established here that contains our access to God is one, the work or the will of God the Father. Remember, Hebrews 10 says that the law was what? A shadow. It was a type, but it is not the perfect picture. It says it is a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things that can never, with those sacrifices which were offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So we know the history. They would come every year. But this Hebrews 10 tells us that Jesus offered one sacrifice for sins forever, and he sat down. And the reason why he did this, it says, one, he had a will. He talks about his good will which he proposed in himself. And he fulfilled that will in the Son. He says that he takes away the first, the ordinances of the law, the types, the shadows of what is to come, and he established the second. Number two, he talks about the witness of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that there are three that testify. And it is what? The Spirit, it is the water, and it is the blood. And these three are in agreement. And the Bible says that from the mouth of what? Two or three witnesses, every word is established. The blood of Jesus is not a thing. The blood of Jesus is a person. It was the very life of the Son himself. The Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the blood has been given unto us upon the altar to make atonement, to bring us one with him. For it is what? The blood that makes an atonement for the soul. So, irrespective of the knowledge that I can gather, because I want a multiplication of grace and peace, but irrespective of the knowledge, if the blood had not preceded the ground upon which I'm standing, I have nothing to claim. Praise the name of the Lord. So one, we have the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood, me and you have access. It is all about Christ. It is all about Christ. It all points us to Christ. The Bible says Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believes. And that's why I'm taking my time to hinge upon the sacrifice. So, Moses, a type of Christ, took the law and read it before the people. And he upheld it and he said, this is the covenant. That law in the New Testament is what? Is the word of God. The law is all fulfilled in Jesus. The law is what? A person. Christ has fulfilled that law. Moses read it before the people and took the blood, put the blood on the book, and sprinkled it upon the people, showing us a picture of what is to come. Today, me and you, we have the blood, because the blood is what is given to us. Not only do I read and have knowledge of the promises, but because of the blood, I have access. I enjoy the promises. Jesus said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have what? No part in me. What does it mean to have a part?
I can stand as an observer and look, but to have a part in him, it means I am one with him. So that we have appreciation for the blood. We have appreciation for the blood. He says, unless you eat of that flesh and drink of the blood, you have no part in me. And Hebrews 9 now tells us that everything in the tabernacle is purified with blood. Who is that tabernacle? Who is the tabernacle? We are sanctified by that blood. So that we who are called will receive the promise of what? Eternal inheritance. So beyond my desire to enter into the fullness of what God has for me, there has to be the shedding of the blood. So if John was weeping and crying and crying, and the Lamb did not prevail, his tears would be futile. So he says, weep not. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, and he has opened the book. He has opened the book. He has opened the book. The book is open. It's a great time to be alive. I have access to the promises of God. I live in the power of the promises of God. Then now this comes our part to play. I talked about the will of God, the Father, that was taking away the first and establishing the second. That was his sovereignty. Of his own good will, he has begotten you and I by the word of truth. It was his sovereignty. He said that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. That was his own sovereignty. We'll fly into light unto salvation. But I want us to take note that this salvation is really not, I don't even see any part that I had to play in it. It is all about him. The opening of the book, the ability to keep it, because he says this is the blood of the covenant. The covenant is an agreement. The covenant is an agreement. The covenant makes us one with him. But it is not even hinged so much in my keeping. He says it's because of the blood. So the first thing we see in Revelation chapter 12, he says, and they overcame by what? The blood. That is the first instrument. The first thing we see. By the blood of the Lamb. And then by the what? The word of their testimony. What were they testifying to? When we go to the court, we testify. You speak. But he says they overcame by what? The word of their testimony. Many testify to other things, but they overcame by testifying of the work of Christ Jesus. The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, which is in the active present participle, the word of their testifying. But what are they testifying to? They are testifying to the finished work of Christ. And they love not their lives even unto death. These are the overcomers. If we don't have understanding of the blood of Jesus, if we don't have understanding of what he has done, you cannot enjoy the promises. Because the covenant and the enjoyment of it is based on knowledge. The people must be aware. Yes, they must be aware. Right. And we see the 24 elders and don't think so far away. It is you and I and the four living creatures always giving thanks to him. Worthy is the Lamb. It points us back to Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory, to receive power, to receive wisdom. It is all about Jesus. It is about what he has done that gives me access, that gives me liberty to begin to enjoy the promises. I think I've laid enough foundation on that. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Notwithstanding, the topic is light
unto salvation.
So we read Psalm 27 and we established that he saves us with light. The Lord is my light. The work has been done. The work has been finished. Jesus cried out and said what? It is finished. God cannot lie. When he said it is finished, brethren, it is finished. The Bible says that after he offered the sacrifice for sins, what did he do? He sat down. The priest could not sit down in the Old Testament because the work was not finished. So to ratify and seal up what he has done,
hallelujah,
he sat down. And the Bible says that it was one perfect sacrifice for sins forever that perfected the commands. Praise the name of the Lord. The death and the resurrection of Jesus paid from the beginning of our salvation to the end of our salvation. And he rent the veil into two. And he says, today is what? The day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. We are no longer... Father Lord, just give me... Help me so that I can... Or I can speak so that there's just understanding. Praise the name of the Lord. It's one thing for me to speak passionately and I'm not conveying the thoughts of my heart or the thoughts of the Father. It's no longer a regimentation of times and seasons. Remember, these were types and shadows in the Old Testament. Praise the name of the Lord. And he says, so we see the seven feasts, the Passover, unleavened bread, and all of that. You enjoy Passover. If you were fast and if you were sharp, can you go to Moses and say, I think we should quickly celebrate unleavened bread? Can you do that? No, you have to wait. And then if you were just enjoying the feast of unleavened bread, man, Moses, I think we need to fly. In fact, skip first fruits. Let's go to the feast of weeks. No. These were types and shadows. Remember, the first is Passover and the end is in the feast of booths, where God becomes one with you and I. But all of these was fulfilled in Jesus. And he says, now is the day of what? Salvation. When I read Revelation chapter 5, I'm saying that the access to the highest in God has been made open. So now, I receive Jesus in my heart. Immediately, I can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Uncle Hope said, in 6 months, you can attain the mark. And you run with a jet speed. Enjoying Passover, enjoying unleavened bread, enjoying first fruit, enjoying Pentecost, enjoying the feast of trumpet, afflicting yourself and enjoying atonement. But the experience of A and B can be different. Now, what will make that difference? Remember, I said what? Divine enablement, grace. Divine energies, unmerited favor, grace, and what? Shalom. Be multiplied through what? The knowledge. So one may be crawling and the other one might be flying. And the reason there is what? Knowledge. It is knowledge. Praise the name of the Lord. What am I trying to say, brethren? Because of what Jesus has done, we can run with great speed. We have access to enjoying him. We have access to enjoying the life of Christ.
Hallelujah.
We have access to enjoying all of him. And so we know that as much as we are all in fellowship and all of that, we are all beholding the face of God differently. Brother A might already be living in the good of the promises of God, living in the good of his promises, enjoying the feast, going ahead and ahead. And one person may not be enjoying so much. It's not because God is not fair, but the multiplication
of divine life is through the knowledge. And it says, by the great and precious promises, we become a partaker. So ignorance of that promise will not make you partake. And God will still be just, and God will still be fair, and He will still be a rewarder of all them that diligently seek Him. So when I titled it as Light Unto Salvation, I'm talking about the understanding we have of His covenant, the understanding we have of His word that takes us to the fullness.
Hallelujah.
That takes us to the fullness. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. It says, no, that's not what I'm looking for. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through what? Ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. This is a sad condition to be in. So, an enjoyment of the life of God is predicated on the knowledge of Him. An alienation because of a darkened understanding is as a result of what? The ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. In the name of Jesus, let blindness be lifted up. In the mighty name of Jesus, that we will not be alienated. We will not be alienated. Ha! We shall be joined. That is who we are. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. I have access.
Hallelujah.
I will not live as though I am weeping because the books are not opened. The instruction came to John. Weep not.
Hallelujah.
Weep not. Sorrow, mourning, sighing. He said He has taken it away.
Amen.
Weep not.
Hallelujah.
For Jesus has prevailed.
Hallelujah.
The book is open. I am celebrating the open book because it means I have access.
Yeah.
I'm celebrating the open book because I have ability to live in the good of the promises of God.
Yeah.
He says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. That life there is Zoe. The life of Christ Himself. Let us narrow it down to us here. Are you enjoying Zoe? Are you enjoying this life? What will speak of alienation? Darkness, ignorance, sickness, calamities, maladies, pain for things that Jesus has already paid for. He says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of what? Ignorance. Brethren, we need light.
Hallelujah.
He saves us with light.
Yes.
So therefore, the first thing He does is that He gives you light. The Lord is my light. Not a thing. Jesus Himself is my light. And what? My salvation. He is my light. Therefore, my understanding is enlightened.
Hallelujah.
And then I'm able to be sozoed. I'm able to enter into what He has done. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We'll go to Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Verse 2 tells us that the earth became without form and void. 1 second, please. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. It says darkness was upon what? Upon the face of the deep. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon. Okay, yes. I was thinking of the scripture, Isaiah chapter 60, that says that darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen. So we see that in Genesis chapter 1, it is not just it does not include the story alone of the creation of the universe that we now see. We are a spiritual people, and this is a very spiritual house. So I know that we all know that. But Genesis chapter 1 is also the recreation of the new man. It is the recreation, or is the story of our redemption. The generation of Adam, it says, I think in verse 2. Or it talks about verse 2. It says, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when the Lord God created, in the day that the Lord made the heavens and the earth. So it speaks of the generation of Adam. But it says, in that recreation, it says, God said, let there what? Be light. So we see that the solution to the darkness, is light. And 2 Corinthians tells us that it is God who commanded, telling us exactly what happened in Genesis chapter 1. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He said that the light has what? It has shined in our heart. And what does the light do? He said it gives the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that is revealed in the face of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And we know that as we behold his face, we are changed. So the instrument for change, the instrument for transformation, the instrument for a complete emancipation and full redemption is light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So we are saved by light. We are saved by light. Brethren, what is our response at this time? Let us be involved in buying the truth. Let us be involved in buying the truth. We need light. The solution to the darkness is light. He saves us by light. The solution to the difficulty is light. We can't be praying to deal with sin when the identity of the new man is that we are created after God in righteousness and true holiness. But we need light. We need light. It says in Christ, we have access. We have access. All of who we are is by the access that he gives to us. He says that the path of the just is as a bright shining light, getting what? Brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter unto the perfect day, until the man of God stands erect, fully furnished, enjoying all that God has opened to us. So the book is open. Eat the book. Eat the book. As you eat, you become. Eat the book. I can't eat the book if the blood has not been shed.
But the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed.
Yes.
So we have opened heavens.
Oh, yes.
The Bible says that we have a more sure word of prophecy. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Scripture that says we have a more sure word of prophecy. Thank you, Philip. Yes, thank you. This is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 16. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when he made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he was referencing the Transfiguration. He said, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. He says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Brethren, it is sure. It is established. It is a more sure word of prophecy. But what it says, ye do well that ye take heed as unto what? A light that shines in a dark place. That dark place is our heart. He says, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. The day dawn is not a time. The day dawn or the day star is also not a heavenly a body. It is Jesus himself.
Amen.
He is the day dawn. Amen. He is the day star.
Right.
So he says, look at the book. That is the more sure word of prophecy. It is as sure as it can be. Our coming into fullness of salvation is because of the light that he gives. That light is Jesus himself.
Amen.
Now, he is with us by his spirit, and he's in us by his spirit, but he's with us by his word. And he says, that word is what? Prophecy. You do well to take it as to the light that shines. So we see the degenerate state in Genesis chapter 1. Darkness was upon the earth. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And we see the instrument of transformation. The instrument of salvation. He says the Spirit of God hovered upon the waters, and God said, let there be light. It is the word of God, and the Spirit of God. That is the instrument of change. He says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place. And as we take heed to that light, as we eat of the word, as we stay on the word, as we behold the word, that is the more sure word of prophecy. It says, what is until? Until is indicative of a timing. Until, brethren, he that is coming will surely come. He will not tarry. Hold on to the word of God. Until the day dawn and until the day star arises in your heart. Brethren, when the day star arises, it says that Now are we the sons of God, and it does not even yet appear what we shall be. But this I know, that when he shall appear, what will happen? I will be like him. I will be like him. So let us look at that sure word, the sure word of prophecy, the sure word of prophecy. It is a light that shines in the dark place until it shines in the dark place until it cannot be dark forever, because the day dawn will arise. Let God be true, and let every man be a liar. Let every situation be a lie. Hold on to the word of God. He says, until the day dawn and the day star arises in your heart, it will arise in our heart. And when he arises in our heart, we are like him. We are transformed. That is the oneness. He is able to save to the uttermost. He's able to bring us through Passover. He's able to bring us through Pentecost. He's able to bring us through unleavened bread. He's able to bring us through trumpets. Having these experiences in our lives, he's able to save to the uttermost. The uttermost is the feast of booths, the ingathering, God dwelling in a people. It says, behold, what? The tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them. God living and dwelling in a people. And he says, God shall dwell with them. A people embodying and carrying the life of God in its fullness. We come to this by the light that he gives us. By the light. God said, let there be light. And we see the progression. The day one of creation. Day two. Day three. Day four. And we see the seventh. A complete perfect man. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So we need knowledge to enjoy the good of the promises. We need knowledge to enjoy, to live in the fullness of what God has for us. May the Lord cause grace and peace to be multiplied through us in the name of the Lord Jesus. We'll just run quickly now. And still in the attributes of knowledge, we see it in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, verse 5 says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and on and on and on. It says in verse 9, or verse 8 rather, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Even though he has been purged from his sins, but he had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And he says, therefore rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling, to make your election sure. For he that doeth these things shall never fall. Let's read verse 11. That is what I was looking for. It says, for so what? An entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior. That, yes, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. An entrance shall be ministered. An entrance shall be ministered. Adding to your faith virtue and adding knowledge. He says, if these things abound and remain in you, if you eat and feast on that knowledge, it will bring what? An entrance. An entrance will be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and our Savior. I want that entrance. Yes, I want to have complete, full access. But it comes by eating and staying on the knowledge of God. On the knowledge of God. What is the kingdom, brethren? What's the kingdom? Those are attributes of the kingdom. What is a kingdom? Sorry. Yes. What is a kingdom? A king's domain. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that the kingdom of God does not come
with observation. So, who is the king in this question?
Jesus.
Okay. Let's go to that scripture. The kingdom of God does not come with observation. Who knows where it is? Can you help me find it? They were looking for when the kingdom will suddenly appear, as though it was by an external force. Look what Philip says. Thank you. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." It is not external. The domain of Christ ruling in you and I, the establishment of the king in his kingdom, we are the temple of the living God. And he says the kingdom does not come by observation. It's not external by, oh, looking. Okay, when do I experience this? When do I? You keep looking externally. It says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, but look, behold, the kingdom of God, what? Is within you. Is within you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of the fullness of salvation. Glorification is the end. And the Bible says that those that are called will receive the promise of eternal inheritance. He says, to them he called, he what, or to those he, whom he called, he justified. And those that he justified, he glorified. And he says, lo, he says, behold, the kingdom is within you. The kingdom is within you. It is Christ in you. So stop looking externally for the change. The instrument of that change is the light unto salvation. The kingdom fully crystallized in me and you does not come by observation. It does not come by being a spectator. It is already in you. That is the fullness of what Christ has paid for. Remember, me and you have access. The book is completely open. It is now Christ in me that is what? The hope of glory. But the fullness, the enjoyment, the multiplication of grace and peace is that we may be established in knowledge. That is the key. The kingdom is within you. The kingdom is within you. As you eat the word, as you stay on the word, as you take heed, yes, it starts as a light that shines in a dark place. But the Bible says that until the day dawn, that kingdom breaks upon you and I suddenly. It's not a sudden break that it just happened. It is gradual, but it blows into full crystallization. It is within you. It does not come by an external, oh, how would this change come? And oh, no, no, no. It is within you. It is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. And as we stay on the word, as we eat of his flesh, as we drink of his blood, we have a part in him. And Christ is formed in us. Praise the name of the Lord. I'll just quickly go to Exodus chapter 24. Actually, Exodus chapter, I think it's 27. So, it says in verse 20, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive beaten, for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. In the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to mourning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. Praise the name of the Lord. So we see that the tabernacle is dark. But in order for us to have light, it says we need what? Oil olive. Pure oil olive beaten for the light to burn. The instrument of light typified in the tabernacle is the lampstand, which signifies the presence of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot be led into all truth. The Bible says that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. It is first the way, it is then truth, until it is life. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it says he will take off the Father and he will reveal it to us. He will lead us into all truth. So, it says in Exodus chapter 27, it says the light is for the tabernacle or for the candlestick to burn bright. To burn bright. And when the priest comes in to trim the lambs and cleans the suit, it's from the lamb he has trimmed, and it is the light that burns. Then he's able to change the table of showbread. So these are unbroken ordinances we see in the tabernacle. Bible talks about the continuous burnt offering. The Bible talks about the perpetual bread of his presence. But we need light in order to partake of the bread. We need light in order to offer true prayer and worship. We need light. You can worship in ignorance. You can pray amiss. It is light that is needed. And so it is the light for the lamp that causes it to burn bright. And that light, I repeat, is not, it is the person of Jesus. He is the light that lights every man that comes into the world. Let's go to John chapter, and I want to read this actually from the TPT version. The Bible says he is the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. Let's go to John chapter 12 from verse 35. Jesus replied, "You have the light shining with you for only a little while longer. While you still have me, walk in the light so that the darkness doesn't overtake you. For when you walk in the dark, you have no idea where you are going. So what? Believe." And I'm reading from the TPT. It says, "Believe and cling to the light while I am with you, so that you will become children of light." After saying this, Jesus then entered into the crowd and hid himself. He says, "Believe in the light while I am with you, so that you will become what? The children of light." The Bible says, once we were children of darkness, but now are we what? Children of light. Now are we light. It says, walk in the light. As we believe in the light, it says, we are the children of light. And the Bible says that he that walk in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Verse 44 of this John 12 as well. Jesus shouted out passionately, "To believe in me is to also believe in God who sent me. When you look at me, you are seeing the one who sent me. I have come as light to shine in this dark world, so that all who trust in me will no longer wander in darkness. If you hear my words and refuse to follow them, I do not judge you, for I have not come to judge you but to save you. If you reject me and refuse to follow my words, you already have a judge. The message of truth I have given you will rise up to judge you at the day of judgment. For I am not speaking as someone who is self-appointed, but I am speaking by the authority of the Father himself who sent me and instructed me what to say. And I know that the Father's commands result in eternal life. And that's why I speak the very words I have heard him speak. Jesus did not separate himself from his words. In fact, he says that these words are the words of the Father himself. And verse 50 says, I know that the Father's commands result in what? Eternal life. We will not reject knowledge. The Bible says that by wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established, by knowledge it is furnished. Knowledge again is Jesus himself. The Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. So if we don't hold on to his words, he says, and I know that the Father's commands, they what? The result, the end of it is eternal life. He says, this is eternal life, that they might know who? Jesus. And they might know him that he has sent, and they might know him, they might know you, the only true God, and they may know Jesus whom he has sent. Eternal life is the knowledge of God. Yes. Brethren, it is light unto salvation. Amen. The knowledge of God until the total transformation of our spirit, soul, and body. He says, I know that the Father's commands result in eternal life. Hold on to his commands. Hold on to his precepts. David says that in keeping them is great reward. The Bible says, for if my word abides in you, I and my Father will come to you, and we will what? We will make our abode with you. We will be one. Yes. There will be a union. There will be a fusion of it. The Bible says that the word of God dwelt amongst men, and the word became flesh. That means men became the word of God. Hallelujah. So we must feast on him. That is the premise. That's the summary of this message. He is that light. As you feast on him, he moves you. As you feast on him, he transforms you. So the Bible says in Hebrews that he is able. I'll read that scripture. Hebrews chapter 9. That he is able to save to the uttermost. And that salvation began from our born again experience. But it does not stop there. He saves us. He continues to save us by the light that he gives to us. Praise the name of the Lord. I think it's Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27. No, I think it's Hebrews 7. I wrote it down. He is able to save to the uttermost them that come to him. Yes, 7. 7 what? Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. It says, therefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. That come unto God by him. I think it was in Hebrews chapter 9. I can't remember now. It says there is a disannulling of the old covenant And there is a new one that has been established through which we draw near. It is because of what God has done that we come to him. He says, therefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. That person comes and keeps coming. He comes in the Passover, the beginning of the born again experience. He comes and he keeps coming, and he begins to enjoy unleavened bread. He begins to enjoy the feast of first fruit. He said he is able to save to the uttermost. These are experiences. These are stages of our growth and our transformation in him. And to the end, the uttermost is God manifest in a people. The fullness of God. We've been filled with the fullness of God. He said he's able to save to the uttermost those that come and keep coming unto him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. May the Lord grant us grace to come. I cannot stop. The Bible says it's a new and a living way. The more you come, the more you live. A new and a living way that he has consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. I cannot come and stop. If I stop, then that remains my experience. But we all here desire the fullness of salvation. And he says that he is able to bring us from Passover to tabernacles. But if not everybody he does that for, he does it for them that would come. Yes, you must diligently seek him. You come and keep coming. The word come here is in, again, it's a verb, it's an active one. Them that draw near to him, them that approach him, them that come and keep coming and keep coming, seeing that he liveth to make intercession for us. Let us hold on to the more sure word of prophecy. I just want to read one last scripture and we'll pray. And I trust that I've been able to convey what the Lord put in my heart, even though with a lot of stammering lips. But I know that we have been changed and his light has been shed abroad in our hearts. Praise the Lord. It says, 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 16. It says, all scripture. And remember, Revelation chapter 5 says the book has been opened. That scripture, the prophetic word, it was locked, it was sealed, but it is now opened. We have complete and total access. Scripture here is also the same as it says we have a more sure word of prophecy. That is the scripture as well. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we need the whole counsel of God. Not in a measure, but the whole counsel of God. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is didaskalia. You guys know a brother like that, right? It's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine means teaching, instruction. That is, it's where our faith is hinged on. So doctrine is that teaching that establishes us. When a man is not established in doctrine, or is established on a wrong doctrine, he's walking in error. He says all scripture is profitable for reproof. And the word reproof there is, oh Lord help me, Eleglos. Someone help me.
Electro.
Thank you, Auntie. And it is conviction. 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 May the word of the Lord, may his knowledge be our total conviction. It is profitable for conviction. Conviction. It is by the convictions of our heart That is where faith is born out of. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by that conviction, by that substance, by that word, the Bible says the elders, they obtained a good report. Someone is helping me. Thank you so much. I'm kind of anxious and I'm missing out a lot of things. But it's okay. However, Christ is preached. Amen. And he says, it is profitable for doctrine, belief, and establishment. It is profitable for reproof, conviction. And it is profitable for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That correction there is alignment. The word of the Lord is able to align or realign and position us. And what is the end of this positioning? Of establishment, of conviction, of repositioning to be on the right path and on the path of life. Let us read verse 17 together. It says that what? The man of God may be perfect, to the thoroughly furnished unto all good work. So to the end, this light establishes us. To the end, this light convicts us. To the end, this light realigns us to make the man of God a perfect man. A perfect man. But I can't claim this scripture. I can't enjoy it if the book was not open. But there's a good news, and it's that the book is open. We have ability to enjoy. We have access. We have access. We have life. And it says, to the end is that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. And so if the end of our salvation is perfection, and we know that this end, we get there by the light that he gives us, why is our growth sometimes halted? Why have we dwelt too long on this mountain? The Bible says, you have dwelt too long on this mountain, turn ye not words. Remember, for the light of the word to break forth upon us, or for us to have perfect understanding to feast, it says we need that light. Hebrews chapter 9, I didn't have time to read, I think from verse 1. It shows us that in the New Testament, the tabernacle has two compartments. Praise the Lord. And it talks about the lampstand as well, the table of showbread. But it also talks, it shows us the altar of incense, not in the holy place anymore, but in the holies of holies. But for us to come into, first of all, the Holy of Holies is the union of Christ and us, the union of God himself and us. Praise the name of the Lord. Remember, the only furniture that you and I find in the Holy of Holies is the mercy seat. And the mercy seat is just simply it's acacia wood overlaid with gold. Our humanity completely transformed into the image of his son. Remember, we start our journey at the outer court, but to the end is what, or the journey, or the end of it is the holiest of all, or the Holy of Holies, where we are one with him. And for us to go through those experiences, it says there must be oil for the lamp to burn. And we that oil, first of all, is the Holy Spirit. And because of the Holy Spirit, I have light. And it is the light that makes me able to partake of Christ himself. That light is Jesus. As you feast on his word, as you partake of the table of showbread, as you partake daily of the perpetual bread of his presence, eating it, being increased in knowledge, being increased and having a multiplication of grace and peace. From eating the word of God, we are able to offer pure prayer and worship to him. We have understanding. We have access. We're able to not pray, because it's not just prayer, but we need the knowledge of God to pray effectively. It's not just worship. Jesus told the Samaritan woman that you worship what you do not know. He says, sing praises with understanding. But when there is light in the holy place, the priest on the Day of Atonement takes that altar of incense. He takes it into the Holy of Holies. He brings us. What am I saying? I'm stuttering, but the point I'm trying to make overall is that journey from start in our Passover experience to the end, which is tabernacles, being one with Him, the fullness of life in us is based on light. Is based on light. So He says He's able to save to the uttermost as you keep coming to Him. As you keep feasting on the word of God, as you keep chewing on the knowledge of God, we are changed. This is eternal life, that they might know you, that they might be a knowledge, a true knowledge of Him. They might know you, the only true God, and they may know Jesus, whom He has sent. Can we begin to pray and ask the Lord to give us light? Many of the things that we go through is because we do not have light. The Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. But we have light. In Him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. Yes, in His light we see light. In His light we see light. I have access. If your condition, like the condition of the man in Isaiah chapter 29, the book was given to him, and he says that I cannot read, for I am unlearned. And the book was given to another man who was learned. He said, I cannot read, for even though I am learned, the book is sealed. We must cry out to Him. The Bible says that to us it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Understanding is a given. Understanding is a given. Therefore, let us ask the Lord to give us light.
Hallelujah.
It is light unto salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my full deliverance. The Lord is my light and my full salvation. The Lord is my light and my healing. The Lord is my light and my transformation. That light is Jesus Himself. That light is the Word Himself. That light is the knowledge of God. We can claim the promises of God. The Bible said that by the promises, by the great and precious promises, we have become a partaker. We have become a partaker. But the Bible says that these people have been alienated from life because of ignorance. Father, enlighten my darkness.